and that I have been speaking with Paula Moyle as well too, Paula Crawford Moyle, and she says the same thing as well to survivors, morehu of state care abuse. She's been saying for quite some time now that voices not heard when it comes to the review. Why do you think the Crown and the Review Committee is reticent? Is reticent right, even the right word, to hear the voices of state care survivors? Why is that?
That's a very good question, Claudette, and I hope that they'll speak to that. But it's certainly critical that the Crown and the Ministerial Advisory Group, who are a Crown-appointed body, that they work with the lead claimants from the Waitangi Tribunal report. And if you think about the last 30 years of Māori development, one of our key themes has been don't talk to Pākehā about what Māori want, talk to us as Māori, talk to us as members of whānau, iwi and hapū, and we'll address the issues because we know them best. And so, you know, exactly the same situation can be applied to those of us with lived experience in the care and protection system.
Well, you highlighted a really important fact, and that is that the review committee is a Crown group. It is a Crown construct, and therefore they would have to meet the obligations of the terms of reference that has been set down by the Crown. So, you know, they are doing what the Crown bids. That's who their bosses are at the end of the day. The Crown, then, why are they reticent in wanting to hear state care abuse survivors? Why are they not more willing to be more open? I mean, the Prime Minister, she did say, warts and all, let's hear it all. But she's drawn a line. Well, the Minister, Calvin Davis, he's drawn a line here.
So Calvin Davis has refused to meet formally with us. And he was very cagey about a response to the Waitangi Tribunal's excellent report, He Pā Harakeke. So I can't frankly believe why the minister would want to overlook 18 months worth of investigation into the issue of Oranga Tamariki, including extensive interviews with the Crown, with Oranga Tamariki hierarchy, to the extent that the chief executive and the Māori director of OT both resigned. You know, so there's a wealth of information there. The Waitangi Tribunal took a very strong line. They were uncompromising in their examination of the issues. Many survivors, not just those of us who were named in the Waitangi Tribunal report as lead claimants, but many people who'd been through the system gave evidence. And so effectively that's being ignored.
Well, we can't crystal gaze and see what Minister Calvin Davis, what his reasons are, unless he actually tells us. But we can, as outsiders observing, and as morehu, we can hazard a guess as to why the Crown is reticent to want to hear from state care abusers, and why they don't want to take on board the findings of Pā Harakeke. One of them is that they're going to have to admit liability and culpability as the Crown. It doesn't matter whether it's a Labor government or whether it's a National government. If they listen to you and if they take on board the recommendations or the report from the Waitangi Tribunal, they are going to have to admit fault. And that will then open a whole set of political issues for this particular government that they don't want to have to deal with.
That's probably a reasonable assumption, but nevertheless, you know, one of the roles of government is to provide fiduciary care for its citizens. And, you know, that means setting the highest standard of care. And this government has fiduciary responsibility, regardless of whether it's a hot potato or not politically. And we claimants expect them to deliver on that. But something that I concerns me as much as I'm concerned about Minister Davis not meeting with us, the other issue that I'm really concerned about is the governors from the Māori-led inquiry who have also cut off contact with us as lead claimants and don't wish to have a partnership with us, which was explicitly stated as a recommendation in the Waitangi Tribunal's report. That's very concerning. So the Māori-led inquiry, of course, was funded by the Whānau Ora Commissioning Agency. And I'd say, and I'm not a betting person, but in this instance, I'd go with it. I'd say that there's a degree of at which people are following the money. And what the tribunal said to us was that, or it said to the to New Zealand and to the government, whatever it is that you design to take over the care and protection system and transform it for Māori, so that it's by Māori and for Māori, there are two caveats. The first is that you must not replace a white bureaucracy or oranga tamariki bureaucracy with a brown bureaucracy. You also must be very careful not to commercialise whakapapa or kinship. My concern is that that's what's happening, is that the Māori-led inquiry governors may be setting themselves up to be a brown bureaucracy and to operate a corporate structure under which they will be providing care and protection services, and that they will commodify kinship. So I'm as concerned about that issue as I am concerned about Calvin Davis and the Ministerial Advisory Group not meeting with us. Also not meeting with us are the Māori governors from the Māori-led inquiry.
So, you know, some really big statements there, Dr. Allison, particularly mm-hmm. around the Māori-led rōpū, whānau ora led, that's the rōpū that we're effectively talking about.
Yes.
Is it fair to say that they will be a brown if they are actually charged with taking over some of the services or all of the services of OT? Is it fair to call them a brown bureaucracy given the mahi that they have already done in the whānau order space has put them at odds with not just this government but the last one as well too, who actually voted them in? Is it fair? Is that, you know, comment fair?
Yes, it is. It is. As Māori citizens, we have an inherent right to critique the structures that others put in place for us, but also our own structures. And so if you have a look at the company's register, which is a public document, which is a public website, listed on that on the company's register are a whole host of shell companies, and those companies link to the Whānau Ora Commissioning Agency, to the Māori Urban, Manukau Urban Māori Authority, to other existing organisations. And my concern as a member of a whānau with four generations of children removed, is that if my whānau get a bad deal from a Māori whānau order entity, and that entity is a corporate structure, my whānau are not shareholders. We have no recourse around the services that we will have received. Now, if those services are, if the contracts are held by iwi and hapu, then there's an accountability mechanism there, but there's not an accountability mechanism under a company structure. That is incredibly important and concerning.
So those corporate structures are essentially a pākehā structure that is not conducive to a good practice for a Māori organisation that should be trusted to take care of the concerns of those in state care or those that are already in state care.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm not seeing any focus on this issue, Claudette. But we need to keep it within our sights.
And so going forward then, any more, lobbying of the minister particularly to get him to come and sit at the table, any more lobbying of the advisory group, the audit group around OT, what are you going to do in the immediate term and in the long term?
We have some good plans, and we will begin to roll those out. But meantime, we will be lobbying Minister Davis as citizens of Aotearoa and as Māori. We have a right to be listened to and not fobbed off by Matt Tukaki and others. The Waitangi Tribunal report was very, very clear in its recommendations that the state need to step back from the care and protection system and hand that over to Māori. The big question now, from my perspective and those of the perspective of the other lead claimants, is who are those people that are going to step into the frame if we're not part of it. So, we represent our own experiences, but we're also experts in the field. So for myself, I'm postdoctoral fellow at the University of Saskatchewan. My research is looking at the forced removal of Indigenous children in Canada and the role of legislation and governments in that process, and comparing that with the New Zealand situation. Rawiri Waretini Karena is also an expert in this area around trauma-informed care, Paura Moyle. So that's the calibre of the expertise that the minister is choosing to leave out of the equation. It's also the calibre of the expertise that the Māori-led inquiry group are choosing to leave out. Now, during the tribunal hearings, in the lead up to the tribunal hearings, there's been years of abuse which has led to us lodging our claim with urgency. And that long period leading up to the claim being heard with urgency, the people in the Māori-led inquiry group were silent. They were absent from the picture, and so, frankly, was the government. So both of those need to account for themselves. Both of those need to move over and share the space with us.
Thank you so very much for joining us this afternoon, Dr. Allison. Wonderful to cordial with you. Thank you very much for your generosity of time. We appreciate it very much. Me tuku mihi ki a koe.
Kia koe a koki.
That is Dr. Alison Green. She is one of the survivors, Morehu.